Exodus chapter 3, verse number 14, he says this. I want to show you something neat here. It all starts and ends with God. Verse 14 said, "And God said unto Moses," watch this, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you." Now that's seven words right there. I am that I am, I am. That's all in block capital letters in your King James Bible. Now that's the first time you see that. He says seven words. Seven is the number for perfection. Now let me show you the last time you see all block capital letters in your Bible. Look at Revelation. Revelation chapter number 19. I want you to see this right here. Let me tell you something. You're not going to beat that Bible right there. You can't beat it. That King James Bible is alive. It's alive. It's alive. And I'm going to tell you this, just while I'm on a good... you're not going to get that in the modern perversions. Why? They don't want you seeing little stuff like this. The more I study it, the more I realize that stuff's about money, money, money. Why? They don't want you to see little stuff like this, and they don't want you to realize that stuff is a whole thing to get everybody under one world religion. You know what Catholic is? Universal. Isn't that right? Means universal. Now you know what that whole thing, the Catholic Church is universal. And you know what new international mean? International. Get everybody together. A lot of people don't realize. They think, well, it just says the same. I'm telling you this right here. There's riches in this book that's not available anywhere else. Why? You got the Word of God in there. I just want you to know, y'all, when you sit down and read that, you think you're reading that Bible's reading you. It knows what's in your heart. You come to that Bible and you got bitterness in your heart. Let me tell you something. You're not going to get anything, but God's going to say, there's the bitterness, and there's the junk, and there's the... get it out. And you know what? A lot of this modern generation don't like that. But y'all, it's good for you. God, see, He's trying to help you. All right, now watch this. I am that. He said seven words. That's the first time you see. You know what Jesus said? I am. He said the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Watch this. The last time you see all capital letters. Now my friend in Texas showed me this, but I'm not even scratching the surface. Look at Revelation 19 verse 16. It says, "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, all block capital, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Look, seven words and all block capital. Jesus said, "I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the first and the last." The first time you see all block capital letters in your Bible, He says, "I am that I am. I am." That's seven letters. Why did He say it again? Get seven in there. That's perfection. Jesus Christ, whenever He comes back, He's got King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Seven. Now, let me tell you something. It don't stop there. Y'all, this is not just a regular book. That's what I'm telling you. You got to get excited about God and what's going on. A lot of times we forget everything in that Bible is not just don't do this and don't do that. And I'm telling you, there's more in there than that. If that's all you're getting out of it, you hadn't grown up in the Lord. You got to grow and see that there's all kinds of riches in there. Now, y'all know, if you turn over to Revelation 22 while you're in Revelation, and y'all know that your Bible starts off with the word I. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Why does it say the heaven, not the heavens? Because they weren't together at first. I mean, they weren't separated at first. It was just one whole thing. And He had to separate it with that great deep after sin come in. That's a whole different story, but I'm telling you, the first word you see in that Bible is I. In the beginning. Alright. You know what He said? Jesus said over there in Revelation 22 verse 13, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Now what? His Word, He said in the beginning, the Word was with God and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh. Alright. So it starts off in Genesis 1 verse 1, I. You know what He said over in Exodus? I am. Jesus was all the time saying, "Before Abraham was, I am." He said, "I'm the bread of life." He said, "I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the light. I am the light of the world." He said, "I am bread." All these, I am. Guess what? The last thing you read in your Bible is amen. You know what amen means? Truth. You know what Jesus said? "I am the truth." I, and the first two letters of the last word in your Bible is am. Begins and ends with, see, He says, "I am." You know what He said over there? He said, "Who do I tell them sent me?" He said, "Tell them I am sent you." You know who sent Him? The Word of God. You know who the Word of God is? The Word was in the beginning with God, and the Word was God. He said, you want to find out who it is? The Word sent you. I am the self-existing one. That's how whenever you read Isaiah and Jeremiah and things like that, you come through your Bible and he'll say in one verse, just like you'll see the first coming and after a comma, you'll see the second coming. Why? He's I am. He's sitting outside of time and he can say, this is going on, this is going on, this is going on, just like it's just happening to him. Bam, bam, bam. 2,000 years here, 2,000 years there, and you step way out in eternity. Why? Because he's God. He's I am. He said, I'll tell you who sent me. I am. Who's sending you? I am sent you. It's just that simple. Hey, I can't speak, Lord. I'm not eloquent. I am sent you. Is that simple enough, Moses? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I believe so. That's who we're talking about.
Right.
And like I said, if you want to study on it, my friend in Texas has got a study, man. I'd love to give it to you. It just bless your heart. But we got to move on. I want to get into this thing here, back to Exodus 3. But I want you to see here, you're not... When we're doing this tonight, this is so important here in the Word of God. This is not just tampering around. This world's almost like they don't know who they're trifling with when they're trifling with God. This little boy over there in California was handing out Bible verses at school, and guess what they did? They expelled him, and the police come to his house. Now, where's his free speech at? What I'm telling you is, they're not scared. The world's not scared of it, all this other stuff. That Bible is real, and that Bible does something on the inside of people, and that's what intimidates this lost world. It's the Bible. That this thing is real right here. He says in verse 15, and God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. The name of God will last forever. He's a self-existent one. He don't have... Look, God without us is still God. Us without God is nothing.
That's right.
You can't go without God.
That's right.
This is going to be forever. Now watch verse 16. It says, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. So he sees what's going on. Y'all, he said the whole time. They've been down there all this time. He sees what's going on. Y'all, a lot of times we forget God sees what's going on. We think we're going to handle something on our own. Moses thought he could do it by himself at one time. God's been seeing it the whole time. And God said, I see what's going on. I'll take care of it. I tell you something, we'll mess up doing things ourselves. I promise you. In verse 17 it says, and I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt. So they were in affliction. Under the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, under a land flowing with milk and honey. It's going to be so abundant, it's just like it's just flowing with. Man, just, y'all, if that land like that, y'all know one day we're going to be in heaven, don't you know, flowing with milk and honey, man. All you need, all the sustenance you need, anything you need is there. You imagine this old flesh body here, we got this just vile. It's so much junk that goes along with it. And one of these days, you're going to be in heaven. You're just going to be able to do anything and everything you want to do. Why? Everything you'll do will please God because you're not able to sin no more. It says, and they shall hearken to thy voice. Watch. And thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. And now let us go. We beseech thee 3 days' journey in the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. So he told him, you know what they're going to say. Now watch this. You got to get this point here. He says in verse 19, this is God speaking, and I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. That's foreknowledge. Foreknowledge always precedes predestination. God, knowing what He will do, doesn't affect His choice in what He does. Just because He knows what you're going to do tomorrow, whatever, that don't mean He's making you do that, or He's forcing you to do anything. He's allowing you by your own free will. Just because He can see it coming, don't mean He does anything about it. Y'all may have had some children before, and maybe your child was riding a little bit too rambunctious on the four wheeler or on the bike or something. You say you're going to have a wreck. Now you're not God, but you can tell by what that child is doing that they're about to mess up. And then they mess up. Now, just because that you knew that was about to happen, that didn't mean you made it happen. You see what's going on here? God had just said, I am. That means He can see it all at one time. And He said, I'm sure He won't. But that don't mean He made Pharaoh not let him go. He just knew Pharaoh would be the one who He could raise up, because He knew that that would be the guy that would not hearken unto the Lord's voice. That's all that is. You got to get that. Now here's the thing about this, because I can tell you something. Calvinism, that damnable doctrine right there, is making another rise just like you would never believe. It's coming up. People I never thought would ever say anything about it are actually starting to buy into it. And they slip these little sayings in here, there, and yonder. And I want you to know that that stuff is kind of like this story. And Dr. Ruckman said this right here at school. And I really like this story. I may have told it to you before, but you got to get this. He said one time there was a wise man. Everybody knew that this man was really wise. And this young boy said, I'm going to fool that wise man. So he takes a bird and he puts the bird behind his back. And he comes up to the wise man. And he's got this burden in his mind. He says, if that guy said, I'm going to ask him if this bird's alive or dead. And if that wise man says he's alive, I'm going to break his neck and say, no, he's dead. But he said, if he says he's dead, I'm going to leave him alive and show it to him. So the little boy come up to the wise man, and he has that bird back there. And he says, Mr. Wise Man, I've got a bird behind my back. Is he alive or dead? And that wise man said, son, that is entirely up to you. Now, you know what it is? If you want to be saved, it's entirely up to you.
Amen.
Y'all, nobody in this room, I don't want to see nobody in here, nobody go to hell. But you can't blame the Lord if you go to hell. Why? Because He made it so simple that a little child can understand. Now, let me tell you, how, if you're witnessing to somebody, this is how simple it is. Do you believe you're a sinner? Oh, yes, I do. Well, you know Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. The Bible said He died, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. This is the gospel Paul preached. He died, He was buried, He rose again the third day. He shed His blood for you on Calvary. Now, can you trust that and that alone for your salvation? Yes, sir, I can trust that and that alone. The Bible says, in whom you trusted, in Ephesians 1:13, after that you believe you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. If you can place your faith and trust in what Christ did for you on the cross, and that alone, that'll get you there, and there won't be nothing the hordes of hell or you or anybody else can do about it. Why? Because once you're saved, you're sealed, sealed, sealed. Now, I'll tell you how sealed. I know it means the seal, like on the King's ring. I know that. But still, a good sealing is this right here. I've got a little boy there. He's pretty tough. He can open up a jar, and he's getting stronger and stronger. He's opened up a jar. But let me tell you something. Right now, while I'm still a little bit stronger than him, and if I put the top on that jar and squeezed it down and I sealed it, let me tell you something. Even if he wanted to open that thing up, he couldn't open it up. Now let me tell you something. A lot of times, we don't realize if God seals you, it ain't nothing you can do about it. You're as good as on the way to heaven. Now why? You got to get that confidence right there. How come? Because if you're anything like me, you have a bad day, won't you? And you say, Lord, what am I doing? You know, you just get mad at yourself. But I'm going to tell you this. Thank God for the grace of God. Now, let me tell you this. This is what's going to happen. You want God to be gracious with you. But you don't want to be gracious with nobody else. You want God to be merciful, and you want God to be kind, and you want God to answer your prayers, but you're not going to treat other people like that. Let me tell you, that's where we're getting off kilter right there. We got to be to the place. Why? If you're Christians, we call ourselves Christians. Oh, how I love Jesus, but I'm not going to act like Him. Oh, how I love Jesus. But see, what happens is that old flesh is so strong. Now, why am I telling you? I'm going to tell you something. Moses is about to get in a battle here in just a little bit. And y'all, this stuff, I believe, is be stuff to help you in your everyday life. But now, there are going to be some things that's contrasted against us. Why? Because, look, they didn't have a lot of things that we have. I wouldn't trade what we have, spiritually speaking, for what they have. Why? They're gonna start going by signs right here. This is one of your most important chapters of your Bible as far as right division. You gotta know something. The nation of Israel is about to start with signs, and I'm gonna read this right here. I'm gonna read 19 again. He said, "And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go." Watch this. "And I will give this people favor in the sight." See there? "Sight of the Egyptians." Now, you know what that Bible tells you? Over Paul tells you, we walk by faith and not by what? Sight. Now you see what's starting here? Why? This thing has to do with the nation of Israel. He's about to get the nation of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. Guess where they were whenever Christ came the first time? They were in bondage to Rome. You know what he did? He come in there and he starts doing things by sight. He starts healing the blind. He starts healing the deaf. He starts healing the dumb. He starts cleansing the lepers. All these things were done to show them, hey, that prophet, like unto Moses, is here. Your long-awaited Messiah is here. They were supposed to see it. Why? If they had been reading Exodus.
Amen.
Right back there, Brother Mike. You see this? Now watch this. Let's get excited about this thing here. It said, "And it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty." You know what? God won't send you empty. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. When I got out of Egypt, He didn't send me away empty. He sent me away with precious promises I could stand on. He sent me away with belief in Him. He sent me away with what we was talking about, eternal security. He sent me away with knowing I'm going to go to a home one of these days and be able to see Him face to face. And I'll tell you something. Wherever Jesus is, that's where heaven is.
Yes, sir.
Y'all, you wouldn't care. Y'all, whenever you see the Lord Jesus Christ, you wouldn't care if you spend it in a dark alley. Why? Where He is where everything that needs to be is there. And He said, "I'm not going to send you away empty." Watch this. Verse 22, "But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them on your son." No, you're not supposed to wear any jewels. Well, hold on now. God said that it was okay long as that outward adorning is not who you saying you are. Whenever it says not of gold or costly weight, don't say you can't wear it. It's supposed to be, though, the hidden man of the heart. It's supposed to be where people can see the inside of you. That's not what makes you who you are. They put this stuff on. It said this, "For your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians." You know what? When Jacob leaves Laban, he's a Jew, he spoils Laban, don't he? Whenever the Jews go out of Egypt, they spoil the Egyptians. You know what? When the Jews leave America one of these days, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to be in trouble. If you know very much about finances, Jews, God has supernaturally given them ability to make money. And if you get to find out, just you don't have to believe Brother Chase, find out who owns the major organizations. One guy, it was I may have told you this, but I like to tell it. This guy was on a train with a Jew, and the Jew was sitting there, and this guy that was lived in a village, he didn't like Jews. And he looked over there and he said, "There are no Jews in our village." And that Jew looked at him and said, "That's why it's still a village." Hey, I tell you something. God has given them a supernatural ability to be able to preserve them. That's something that's between them and God. You know why a lot of people don't like Jews? Because Gentiles like money. And Jews can make money. So that you got a whole deal going on there. Now, watch this. Chapter 4, we're going to start this thing here and get bogged down in places. Verse 1, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, He don't know." That's what we think. I get mad at myself so much. I don't know if y'all are like that. But I said, I know what they're going to say. Y'all do that. I already know what's going to happen, Lord. When I say this, it's going to be, and then it's going to be. And Moses said, look, I know what they're going to say. Y'all, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. Most time, the thing we think is going to happen is the thing that didn't happen. And he says this. He says, Alright, now you got to get this now. They will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Now look here. Let me start this right here. Watch this. It says, verse 2, and the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? Now, the thing is, practically, God's going to use what's in your hand. I want you to know that before we even get into the doctrinal stuff, you got to ask yourself a question, what's in your hand? You ever thought, Moses just had a rod, and it's just an insignificant rod. But God is able to use what naturally comes to y'all. There are things every one of y'all in here is good at that other people aren't good at. You know, that's why a lot of you are doing what you're doing as a job, because whether you realize or not, you're good at it. And guess what? God can use what's in your hand. Now, this is the thing. You say, well, the old world of flesh and devil is going to say, well, you're just insignificant. Well, Moses just said he couldn't be used, and now they're going to say this. Moses starts off doubting God, and God uses it. God uses base things. Now, the thing is, you got to realize that God can use you. And you got to think of all the places. And somebody had pointed this out, and I really liked it. He has already equipped the man, and the man doesn't know it and isn't aware of the equipment.
Amen.
He's already equipped Moses. And he already had what he was going to use by Moses, and Moses didn't even know it. You know, a lot of times you may have the equipment God's going to have you use, and it may not even be for a long period of time, but you may have it in your hand and not even know it. Why? Because God is the one with all the knowledge. God's the one with all the understanding. We forget that. We say, well, it's just insignificant right here. God say, I'll just use that. I'll just part the sea with that. You got to realize things that are insignificant to us, God can use it. You think about Matthew. Here he is, and he's a tax collector. A lot of folks don't like tax collectors, and God uses him. You think about it, but the thing is, God, what's one view in one person's view, God may view him a whole different way. God calls Gideon a mighty man of valor before he ever fights the first battle. Why? God sees what you're going to be later on down the road. Simon Peter. Now look here. Y'all, I'm going to recommend y'all a pastor. Now think about this. He kind of loud mouth now. He kind of tells the Lord what to do every now and then. He'll correct the words, you know, every now and then. Peter corrected the living word. He cussed out a little maid. And he cut a man's ear off. But y'all, he's a good pastor. Good pastor, man. Just a real good man. Now would y'all, I mean, you think about it. On the surface, we wouldn't think much of it. But y'all, God thinks much of it. Just because we don't think like God thinks.
That's right.
You got to realize you sit there a lot of times and you think it's good to be humble, but it's not good to alibi. Moses' humility, there was no sin in that. His sin was where he kept alibiing and alibiing and alibiing. The sin comes in is where you start making excuses when God says, "Hey, I can use you." That's where it comes in at. You got to realize that God can use what's in your hand now. And we're going to get into this thing. He said, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. Now, for sake of time, I'm going to tell you, here's some tight. This stuff is so rich, I could never get it all in one whack. But I just want to read a verse to you. Isaiah 11:1 says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. He said, Moses, you got a rod in your hand. Guess what happened? He said, He said, cast it on the ground, and he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before. That rod's a type of Christ. Came out of Jesse. And you know what happened? It became a serpent. Now you know what the Lord did? The Bible said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall also the Son of Man be lifted up. And you know what the Bible said? He became sin for us. He that knew no sin became sin for us. You know who's the first sinner? The devil. And you know what the Bible said the devil is in Revelation 12? A serpent. You got to realize something. What Christ did for you, we can't explain what all went on Calvary. The fact that someone, and I know I've heard some great sermons. No, really, I'm not being sarcastic. Some great sermons. But I'm telling you this right here. When those lights went out, we just don't know. We just don't know what all He did for you on Calvary. I'll tell you something. We just forget how gracious and merciful and kind. Yeah. Why? Because Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ did not have to do that. He said, I lay it down of myself. He became a servant. This is the type right here. Why? Israel could read this right here. If they knew any Bible at all, they're supposed to be able to see Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Why? The Bible said those two were on the road to Emmaus, and the Lord Jesus said He expounded on them beginning at Moses. And expounded them on the Scriptures concerning Himself. Beginning at Moses. Moses laid down a rod. And you know what the Lord Jesus could have said? I believe that was the best sermon preached on planet Earth. And we just missed the thing. We'll have to rewind the tape when we get up there one of these days. And we have to let the Lord rewind it back and say, well, Lord, we want to hear that sermon about You. Or He could preach it right then if He wanted to. What I'm telling you is beginning at Moses. He said, that rod right there that laid down and became a serpent, that's a picture of Me becoming just like those serpents over there in Numbers. And He goes back there and shows them all the Scriptures concerning Himself. Now, let me tell you this right here. That rod, the Bible said it became a serpent. This is the first miracle. And I know I say that weird, but first miracle. I call it miracles. But the first miracle in the Bible. Now, get this right here. When the Lord came, what was the first thing after He was baptized by John the Baptist and the Holy Spirit descended down, not a dove, but like a dove. Alright? And then the Father said, this is My beloved Son, to whom I'm well pleased. You got Him there, He lays His stamp on Him. What happened? The Lord goes up and He's tempted of who? The serpent. The first miracle right here. You see these things pointing to Christ when He came back? Every bit of that. Christ is showing you He is that prophet. They're supposed to be able to see. That's the first miracle in the Bible. Look over here. Watch this. Verse number 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Now, what I want you to see there is it has serpents. And what you're seeing is God's telling them, hey, y'all were shepherds. And you see that rod that had turned something bad, I can turn it back into something good. I can get y'all back to a shepherd nation. And God's saying, hey, that rod right there that became a serpent, I'm the only one that can deal with this thing. He's the only one that can deal on this matter. Now, let me give you a practical application. That somebody said to one of my teachers one time, he's down in a rescue mission. And he was sitting down there by a drunk. And he said, that drunk was talking to him about the Bible. And he said that drunk looked over at him and said, I need to do like I did over in Exodus. And he said, over in Exodus, what are you talking about, brother? And he said, I need to grab a serpent by the tail. And he said, what are you talking about? He said, well, you got to face it. You got to face it. See? Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You see, if you'll draw nigh to God, if you'll get close to God, the thing is, y'all, look, we get this idea here. Now, don't get me wrong now about the devil. I don't go in here and rebuke the devil and say I'm going to stomp on him like that. But y'all know God can whip the devil anytime.
Yes, can.
So who do you run by? You run to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And in a sense there, it's like here, he caught this snake by turning and facing it. You got to face the issue. You know what we do in our life? We want to blame everybody else instead of facing the issue. And I'm telling you, just this person in my life, when something keeps coming up and keeps coming up, keeps coming up, you know what? I got to get in that Bible right there and say, Lord, what have I done? First, get why the old saying is, get the mote out of your eye, then you can see clearly. Why we're supposed to sweep our front porch before we go sweeping our neck. Your front porch here is dirty over there now, neighbor. Well, I'm telling you, you got to face the issue. He defeated this thing here by facing it. Practically speaking, that's a good practical lesson. A lot of times we just don't want to face that. I'm telling y'all, that is why all of us deal with that stuff. All of us do. Now, here's what he's doing. He did this thing, and the Bible said he put forth his hand, verse 4, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Now, why did he do that? Verse 5, this is why Israel, why the Jews require a sign. Verse 5, that they may believe. You say, why is all the charismatics and all this stuff, why they get out here and they'll do all this stuff they do? And they believe, they believe in these healers and all this stuff like this. Why? They hadn't got this right here. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:22, Paul tells you, Jews require a sign. Why do they require a sign? He told Moses, go do this, that they may believe. Signs start with Israel. Israel requires a sign because their nation was gotten out of bondage, starting off with signs. And if they didn't have the signs, Israel wasn't going to believe them. The Lord Jesus Christ came with signs, and the common people heard Him gladly, but the Sadducees and Pharisees didn't want to hear it. They didn't believe the sign when they should have. So you see where the corruption is? Way up at the top. Way up at the top. That's why I don't trust scholars and things like that. You read this Bible right here. This Bible had nothing good to say about scholars. Why? Because most of them are in it for a dollar. A dollar. The old, you know what they call it? The almighty dollar. Well, who's the almighty? The Lord Jesus Christ. They're trying to take His place. What I'm telling you is, this thing's coming in here, y'all, for us. This is Israel. This is how they started. Y'all, we don't go by signs. Now, you can get over there in Pauline Epistle, and they'll tell you over there in Timothy that in the last days of the church age, there shall come, and it goes on a list. Boasters, proud, arrogant, it goes on all that stuff. We're seeing that stuff. There are trends there that we're seeing. Why? All it is, y'all, is they're setting, this world is setting up for when the church is gone, that the Antichrist system is already ready. It's already there. Now, y'all, that shouldn't take us by surprise, but I want you to know, you don't have to have another sign come through before the Lord come back. The Lord could come back any minute. He could come back tonight. He could come back in the morning. He could come back in 20 years. But He can come back when He wants to. Don't look for a sign. Listen for a shout. Don't look for an Antichrist. Look for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What I'm trying to tell you is we got to get this thing right. He says, I'm going to do these signs that they may believe. I got that underlined. Why? Because if you don't get that right there, if you're witnessing to some of the folks, and we love a lot of them, but y'all, a lot of them are just as messed up as a soup sandwich on this stuff. Now it says this, that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee, that they may believe He appeared. So I mean, He's giving him signs. Now watch this, verse 6, and the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand in thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. So, what did Jesus do when He came? Jesus started healing lepers.
Right.
Why? The prophet like unto Moses. You see that thing? That thing is coming in there showing you that He had the Jesus came showing you He had the signs. And the first man healed was Moses. And the first disease was an African disease of leprosy. And I tell you something there, one of these days that thing will come back in the tribulation. It's going to be a major thing going on. Now, one thing I need you to see there about that is the first man healed was Moses. So the signs of healing are for the Jews. These are national signs. These are Jewish signs. Now, another thing too I want you to see there is turn with me to Exodus 15. I need you to see this. Exodus 15. When Jesus came with all these healings and all these signs, He wasn't just throwing around His miracles saying, look at me go, man, what we think about that leper I just healed over there. Man, what that need? I just healed that. He wasn't doing that. What He was doing is He was coming in there saying, Israel, you're sick. Why? Watch this. Exodus 15. You got to see this. Why? Because sickness, you didn't have no recorded sicknesses before Moses just got that right there. That's the first sickness recorded in the Bible. Now, some people say, what about Job over there? Well, Job was afflicted of the devil. You know what that tells you? Some sickness may have to do with sin. Some sickness may have to do with unclean spirits and the devil messing with you. And some sicknesses may have to do with God getting you closer to Him. We got to realize that. A lot of times you say, well, how do we know? Prayer. That's something we don't want to do. Because I can tell you something. If you've been living for the Lord, and you've been getting there and all of a sudden you get sick, the Lord may just be allowing that just to get you closer to Him. Why? Somebody around you needs to see a Christian come through something. That may be all that is. And if somebody say, I know you had to have done something. Well, Job's friends said the same thing. They all said, man, we know you sow to the wind, you weep, royal whirlwind, all that. They were rough on Him. Y'all, we ought not be rough on people like, you don't know what God's doing in their life. Who are we to get there and say, well, yeah, I'll tell you why you're sick. You better watch out, man. I tell you, you're on dangerous ground with that stuff. You have to be careful. Look at Exodus 15, verse 26. It said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now you see that by His stripes we're healed over there in Isaiah 50. They should have known that was their Messiah. Now with us, my sin stripes are healed. But one of these days, there won't be no more sin, disease, or anything. What Jesus was saying when He came that first time, He's saying, hey, when I'm around, and if my kingdom comes in here, y'all accept me, won't be no more sick people. You want all your doctors, all they're going to be out of business. All your pharmaceutical companies going to go, that's why they're going to hate Jesus. They're going, why? Y'all, you got to think about something here. You're going to a land where there's no more sickness.
Amen.
No more hospitals. No more morgues. No more cemetery. No more of that stuff.
No more.
Well, Jesus was saying, hey, I'm Him. You remember the guy in the Old Testament? You remember the God of the Old Testament that told you? I'm telling you, y'all are sick and you need the Messiah. Here I am healing, so won't y'all receive me? That's what He was saying. If you will receive it, this was a lie that was for to come. They said, if. And guess what? They didn't receive it, did they? What I'm showing you is in that Bible, you start off right here at the front. And if they had been reading their Bible, do you know it was commanded them to read that Bible every day? Now, let me tell you, for us, spiritually speaking, do you know what we'll miss practically and how many things we'll be blind to if we don't read our Bible every day? I'll tell you something, it's scary. It's scary. Jephthah's daughter, do y'all know over there, Jephthah had made an oath. And his daughter comes to the door. Somebody told me somebody said, that way he didn't have to kill his daughter. He killed a rooster. And I said, they're mourning a rooster? That's crazy. You know what happened? He had made an oath. And if he had been reading his Bible over in Leviticus, I think it's chapter 4, maybe chapter 5. Yeah, I'm kind of hazy. One of those two chapters, I think it's chapter 4. But whenever you made an oath, if you realized that oath was bad, like that right there, he could have went and said, Father, forgive me. I need your forgiveness on that thing. Got right with God and took that thing back. And you know what happened? He ended up losing his daughter because of his biblical ignorance. Now, you know what we think? it's just daily Bible reading. No big deal. Now, just no big deal on daily Bible reading. But you know what? We missed something. And y'all, I'm bad forgetful. That's why I know I have to read it every day. Well, I say, man, I remember that. It refreshes you. It keeps you fresh. So, hey, that's fresh on your mind and you won't make that mistake. And y'all, I'm telling you something. We need it. I'll go a little bit further. We'll close. I want you to see this thing here back in Exodus chapter 4. So he's got that leprosy snow. He said in verse 7, and he said, put thine hand in thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, verse 8, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign. See, signs are for Israel. Signs with a nation. They will believe the voice of the latter sign. Now, what's the Bible talk about the latter days? That's the days right before the Lord comes back in the second coming. You know what he's saying right there in verse 8? He knew they weren't going to believe the first time. But they didn't believe the signs the first time. But guess what? They will believe the voice. The voice. You know what? Signs. Why did it say the voice of the sign? Signs speak to Israel. You know what? They're going to see the sign of the Son of Man coming in the cloud. Let me tell you something. They're going to believe. The Bible said that all the nation, tongues, and kindreds that's pierced Him, they're going to see Him. Let me tell you something. God, you ever heard people say, I'll make a believer out of you?
Amen.
God's going to make a believer out of a lot of folks one of these days. There's a lot of people, they say, I just don't believe in hell. Okay, well, you believe it 5 minutes after you've been there. You believe it real good.
Yes,
well. Let me tell you something. I thank God we can walk by faith and not by sight. I thank God for that Bible. I thank God that He gave us that. You know, let me tell you, we walk by faith and not by sight. You think about this. Paul said he was living by the faith of the Son of God. Do you realize once you trust Jesus Christ, you live by His faith and not your own faith anymore? Well, my faith wavers and fails constant. I get so mad at myself. Sometimes I think, man, I need somebody preaching to me. And guess what? The Lord will say, okay, I'm about to start preaching to you.
Amen.
And you know what happens there? Why? He'll get in there and begin to deal with your heart and clean that stuff. And before long, He lifts the weight off of you. And before long, you can get something done. But I'll tell you something, that weight and that stuff will weight you down. Y'all don't do that. Don't let it weight you down. It's not worth it. It's not worth the stress. Let me tell you something. God is going to work with you or without you. He don't have to have none of us. He don't have to have me. Don't y'all ever think for a second He's got to have me. He don't have to have none of us. Let me tell you, if you ever put your hand in a bucket, 5 gallon bucket of water, and you pull that hand out like that right there, as soon as that water closes, He can replace us that fast.
That's right.
You know what that does? That keeps us humble and say, Lord, I would like to work for you, Lord. I would like to serve you. I want to serve and do what we can while we can. Wow, you see this stuff? We're going to get in some stuff here in a little while. If the Lord allows and the Lord don't come back, we're going to get in some prophecy. I think it'd be a blessing to you. But y'all, this thing is wrapping up. I believe it. I really do. And I wouldn't tell you that just to be mess. I believe we're getting close.
Yes,
I believe we're getting close to the homecoming, man. I'm going to race y'all up there. Just race you, Brother Mike. Race you now. Amen. Let's close out. Brother Mike, if you close us out.